This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. How is it August already? You certainly don't have to remind any teachers about the passing of this summer. We've been talking through school issues for the fall with a variety of educators and administrators over the past couple of weeks. And today we wanted to bring Michigan's new Teacher of the Year into the conversation. Named just late last month, Owen Bondano is a ninth grade language arts teacher at Oak Park Freshman Institute. It's a public school in Oak Park. Owen Bondano, welcome to Stateside.
Hi, nice to be here.
Your school is a ninth grade inclusive campus. It's just those high school freshmen. Can you tell us a little bit about who's in the student body?
Sure. So our ninth grade academy houses between 300 and 350 students, depending on the year. Our student population is 98% African-American, and many of our students come from across county lines because of school of choice. So we have a population that looks not like what you might expect when you think Oak Park, Michigan, but they're really a fantastic group. I love ninth grade. I love the exploratory nature they have and the energy and excitement of being new to high school. I love ninth graders.
Have you been able to stay in touch with very many of them?
Oh, yeah. So in the spring, I was teaching them virtually. And because of that, they have my Google Voice number. They have my email address. I text with them through Google Voice regularly. I had plenty of them sending me congratulation emails when the announcement was made a few weeks ago. So we're still in touch very much.
What has your school decided about this fall?
As of this moment, we have not fully decided yet. We have a board meeting this evening to decide whether they're going to vote on the superintendent's proposal. The superintendent has proposed that we start virtual for the first quarter of the school year and reevaluate in October.
How are you feeling about that?
I think that's a great decision. I think that the superintendent is looking at a lot of data, and it's one of those impossible situations where there's no one answer that can make everyone happy and meet everyone's needs. So I'm glad that she's going with a proposal that will put the least amount of people in danger.
Yeah. Oh, and those frantic weeks at the end of last school year when everybody was just rushing to figure something out online.
Yeah.
Can you tell us what the so-called emergency online period was like for you?
Oh, boy. Well, I'm already fairly tech savvy as a teacher. So my students were already in Google Classroom. We were already using online single sign-in portals. We already had a lot of the tools in place that some people were scrambling to put in place at that moment. So I was lucky in that way. And that's because I think that the internet has a lot of potential for teaching our students. And I think that as a tool, it's really useful. So I try to use every useful tool I can find. So in some ways, it was easier for me than maybe for some other teachers who didn't have the tech tools in place already. But it was definitely strange to not see their faces every day. And I had to, on the fly, reinvent my curriculum to be something that not only could it be delivered from a distance, but it had to be delivered asynchronously. There was no me standing in front of the class and giving them 10 minutes of information. You know, in class, if a student has a question, I can answer it right away. And it also answers it out loud for the other 10 kids who are all thinking the same question in their heads. But in this asynchronous virtual setting, suddenly I had to field 12 emails or texts with the same question. And that takes a lot longer.
Right. So what's on your mind as you think through what you will have to do? Let's assume for the moment that the superintendent's proposal is going to pass tonight. What's on Sure. your mind for online learning in September?
Well, our online learning in the fall is going to look a little bit different. It was all asynchronous, meaning nobody had to be anywhere at the same time in the spring because we had a lot of equity issues that we were dealing with. With the fall, we have some of those equity issues a little more under control. We've gotten devices. Our district sent out over 3,000 laptops and hundreds of hotspots to our students.
Wow.
So with those tools in place, we're going to bring back in some of those more synchronous or all at the same time experiences. We're not going to replicate the school day. We're not going to expect kids to be on Zoom for 8 hours, but we are going to bring in some of those all together opportunities, which I think is going to be really important because, at least in my class, things like class discussion are a big part of how we learn together.
How do those moments work in an online format?
Well, luckily, I've been teaching summer school, so I've had a little bit of a preview. And we studied a book over summer school, so we had a lot of class discussions about the book. And for me, one of the nice things is that with Zoom, with the chat feature, I'm getting participation sometimes from students who might be too nervous to speak up in class because they're putting it in the chat instead. And so I've gotten pretty good at doing this whole facilitation thing where I'll see something pop into the chat and I'll be able to say, oh, I see that Kendra has said, and then I can read their comment out loud to add it into the discussion without them feeling too overwhelmed by trying to share this new format.
I mean, it's been a lot for adults to sort of adapt their meeting style to Zoom. I can only imagine what it's like for a bunch of high school freshmen.
Absolutely. And I'm not one of the teachers who's going to tell them that their camera has to be on and their mic has to be on because I don't know their home situation. I don't know if there's a reason they're not comfortable doing that. So I've been trying to utilize the chat. I've been trying to utilize online tech tools that have, instantaneous engagement and stuff like that to get them engaged in ways that don't require them to maybe turn on the mic when their sister's in the next room blaring the TV. You know what I mean?
For sure. Your sister is also a teacher, and you've said and written about some advice that she gave you. She's your older sister and went through all this a little bit before you did. Could you tell us what it was that she the conversation that you two had?
The conversation I think you're talking about is when I was in college. I originally was going to college for music, and when I realized that teaching fit me better, I was having a lot of debate with myself about what subject I wanted to become qualified to teach. And my sister, who, as you said, is an amazing teacher, and she's 8 years older than me, she asked me to think about if I could open up every kid's head and put in one skill, what would that skill be? Her logic being that then fit the sub, you know, pick the subject area that fits that skill the best. And my answer to that question was I couldn't think of just one, so I settled for two. And it was empathy and critical thinking. And when I thought about that and my love of writing and reading, English seemed like a natural fit.
There you go. Well, would you say that your answer to that question has changed over the years? The one critical skill that you would want to put in kids' heads if you could?
I think, if anything, my dedication to empathy and critical thinking has gotten stronger. A lot of the issues that occur happen because people can't think critically, or because they won't, or because they don't have empathy for others.
Yeah. Our guest today is Owen Bondano, ninth grade language arts teacher at Oak Park Freshman Institute. Owen is Michigan's newly named Teacher of the Year. Oh, and another thing I wanted to ask you about is you're known for incorporating a lot of conversations about race and anti-racism into your classroom work. When did you start doing that?
I started deliberately incorporating it maybe 2 or 3 years ago. Before that, I mean, I've always had these conversations. I've never taught in a classroom that wasn't majority Black students. And so these conversations come up naturally anyway, especially when I'm cultivating a classroom where people feel safe and they feel like they want to share and be a part of that community. But deliberately, a few years ago, I started to bring it up because I feel like my students lack tools to deal with what's happening in the world. They know what happens. They know they've experienced racism, but if you were to ask them what happened, they couldn't necessarily use a term like microaggression or privilege or oppression or something like that. And without the words to describe your experience, it becomes very difficult to talk about them with other people. So one of the things I try to do as an English teacher is I try to give them the terms to describe their experiences.
So what does that mean in terms of curriculum?
Well, one of the things I've been trying recently, I added a new book to my curriculum, which is Tiffany Jewell's This Book is Anti-Racist, which is an excellent primer aimed specifically at 10 to 15-year-olds. It talks about what privileges we have and where we have power and where we don't. Also, it talks very generally about the history of racism in our society. And then the second half of the book is all about actions you can take when you encounter racism in your world. And so we study this book as a class, and I have students saying to me all the time, oh, that's happened to me. I didn't realize that that was something that happened to everyone, or I didn't realize that there was a term for that. And so just by having these conversations about who we are and what we've experienced, we sort of, as a class, develop a vocabulary together to talk about things and to make plans for what we can do next time.
Are there ways that you've had to adapt those issues and conversations to an online environment? I mean, I feel like when you can talk with someone in person, you can engage them in a conversation about race that feels very intimate and very personal, and maybe hopefully also safe, that they would feel comfortable sharing things they might not also share. Is it more difficult when you're interacting with students online?
Well, in a physical classroom, I work very hard to make my students feel safe. We spend a lot of time, especially at the beginning of the year, but even throughout the year, talking together, having conversations, doing activities that bring us together so that when we have these deeper conversations, we have a level of trust already built. And it's certainly harder to do a lot of those things in an online setting, but it just means that I have to double down on these things that make us feel safe together and having these conversations about when the topics are still relatively safe so that when we get deeper, we feel safe with each other. But also, a lot of the online engagement tools that I'm using allow students to participate in ways that are less frightening than saying it in front of a whole group of people in person. The ability, for example, to private chat someone on Zoom. I promise my students that if they send me something privately in Zoom, I won't identify them when I add it to the conversation. I can just say, oh, I see someone has said in the chat, and then read it and add it without them having to fear that their name is going to be attached to that statement.
Sure. Hey, Owen, when you became Michigan's Teacher of the Year this year, it was a bit of a moment for trans people all over Michigan. You're the first Teacher of the Year that we know of who is trans. Could you tell us about when you decided to come out in the workplace?
That was a journey for me, for sure. I transitioned in college, so before I was in a professional setting. And very quickly, I came out to the coworkers that I trusted. It's hard to, in my opinion and in my experience, it's hard to build meaningful relationships with people without at some point mentioning that fundamental fact about myself. Mm-hmm. But I was not out to students, mostly because up until this past June with the Supreme Court decision, I could have been fired for the wrong parent complaining. It would have been legal to fire me because of my gender identity.
Right.
And so I kept it from students for that reason. I also feared a little bit that I feared that revealing something about myself that could inspire so many divided opinions might make it harder for me to build community with certain students. And since building community is my job, it felt like I'd be doing my job less effectively. But over time, the weight of not coming out got heavier and heavier, especially because when I got into teaching, I told myself that I would be the teacher that I needed when I was in high school. And by not being out, I wasn't fulfilling that promise. So this past school year was the first time that I was out to my students as well. And that was after a lot of conversation with my admin and my union and everybody else to make sure that I would be protected. So this year was the first time that I was out to students. And I didn't ever declare it to students or anything. It just comes out in conversation, especially when we spend so much time at the start of the year talking about our identities and who we are and what communities we're a part of. I do all of that work with my students to be transparent and to build their trust with me as well. So they saw it in those conversations. And instead of making the community more fractured, like I had feared, it actually made us a much stronger community, I think. And I've had many students just this past year who have told me that the fact that I can say these things about myself without shame or fear is inspiring to them. Whether or not they're also LGBTQ, they find it, I might be the first person they've ever seen who stands up and just says, like, it's a normal thing that you should not be ashamed of, that I'm transgender. And that's meaningful to them.
Yeah. High school is a time of a lot of discovery when there are many firsts like that, you know, meeting people, maybe that you didn't realize were of a different faith, or sort of figuring out your own stance on gender or gender issues. Have you ever had students who were maybe students who needed more conversation because they hadn't been expecting that? And they maybe, you know, maybe this is not even a term or a thing that they were aware of.
One of the great things about being a teacher is encountering the curiosity that's natural to children. And so when I say I'm transgender in front of this group of 15-year-old children, the curiosity is natural. And I get many, many questions right away. And I know now from experience that the moment that word comes out of my mouth, I can throw away the rest of the hour's lesson plan because we're going to be answering questions for the rest of the hour now. And so what I've found is that I have not At this point, I have not encountered hostility from a student. I have encountered students who are more curious than others, and that curiosity has with it a tinge of judgment or whatever baggage they're bringing from their family or their home or their own belief system. And so all I try to do is be open with them. You know, I keep the conversation obviously student friendly and appropriate, but I try to be open with them and honest with them. And I want them to just see that I am a person and that I am their teacher and that I care for them. And I found that often the fact that I continue to be a caring, supportive teacher to them eventually melts away any resistance they may have had, because they're shown again and again and again that there's nothing wrong with me and that I'm a person they can trust and love.
Oh, and is that difficult for you, having to be the living laboratory for, you know, certain new experiences that these kids are having of gender identity every fall?
I wouldn't call it difficult. I would call it an honor. You know, I signed up for this gig knowing that there might come time where my identity made my job more difficult or made it different from the way that other teachers experience their jobs. And I also signed up for this gig because I love helping kids grow. I love helping further them on their personal journeys. So in some ways, I feel like it's an honor to help shape where they're headed. And in some ways, I feel like I'm doing valuable work for all the other LGBTQ people around me, that I'm making the world safer for them by having these conversations now when these students are 14 and 15. And I just feel honored to be in a place to be able to do that.
I can only imagine what it's meant to some of the queer or gender non-binary kids in your school.
Yeah, I have a lot of really great moments of students who are tentative at first with me, and it's because they've got something inside of them that they're wrestling with. And to see them sit and become more solid in their comfort in my room is amazing.
Owen Bondano is Michigan's new Teacher of the Year. He teaches ninth grade language arts at Oak Park Freshman Institute in Oak Park. Owen, we wish you all the luck this fall and a very safe restart to school. We'll be thinking about you. Thanks for talking with us.
Thank you very much. This was wonderful.